Blog Talk Radio.
I'm about to reveal the tales of your life. Too many secrets are locked inside your mind, but you're all equal in life, equal in love.
I know you're gonna dig this.
All right, let's go. Hey, yo, this is John from Hip Talk Radio. You're listening to Paranormal Talk with my homegirl, Annette Jones. Make sure you keep it locked for tarot card reading. A lot of interesting stories going on here. Paranormal Talk, Annette Jones. One love.
Good evening, everybody. It's May 5th, and this is Paranormal Talk. I'm your host, Annette Jones. And yes, it's the first Tuesday of the month, and that means we are welcoming back pet psychic Tim Link. Welcome back, Tim.
Hi, Annette. It's always great to be here. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Pretty good. And you've been busy, I hear.
Been very busy, and we just had the published date of my first book, Wagging Tails, Every Animal Has a Tail, and it came out officially on Friday, May 1st, which happened to be my birthday.
So, happy birthday. I didn't know that.
Yeah, thank you. So great birthday present for us, and we're excited. We're excited about the book and getting the word out there.
So how did your first book signing go?
Fabulous. We had our first speaking and signing at Unity Church, and we sold out of all of our books at the signing.
Excellent.
Yes. So we're all excited about that, and we're kicking everything off here in Atlanta, my hometown, or my new hometown of 14 years, I guess I should call it.
Yeah.
And, yeah, we're going to be out and about. We've got four different signings at bookstores and events here in the area before we hit the road for a little summer tour.
Very good. Okay. Well, we actually have a caller on the line already. Let's see who this is. This is somebody from your same area code, so maybe this is a friend. We shall see. All right. Caller from the 770 area code, you're on the air.
Yes. Hi.
Hi.
My name is Marianne.
Hi, Marianne.
Hi, Marianne. How are you?
Hi, Tim. I heard you at Unity on Sunday. I was so impressed.
Oh, fantastic. I got followers already, so that's great.
Yes, you do. I bought your book, and I really enjoyed it this week.
Oh, that's great. Well, thanks for picking up the book and reading it and giving positive comments back and calling in.
Definitely, definitely. Well, I emailed a picture to the show yesterday of my kitty Slink. I don't know if you all are pulling those up yet.
Yeah, I forgot to. Last week I announced that they could send in photos because I didn't know yet that you didn't want to do readings this week. So I just took this one, Tim.
No, that's fine. It works out well because it's part of my family. I think I've told people before that I attend Unity Church and go to Unity North, a member of that wonderful church in Marietta, Georgia. And that's where we had our first book signing, and that's where I met Marianne and
right.
Had a chance to sort of give my testimonial, which was cool. Yeah, I thought, and I think I limited myself to about 5 minutes worth of talking, which is a first for me. So
well, I have already emailed your website to several of my friends, so I know you're going to be hearing from them too.
Oh, excellent. That's what we like to hear. We like to help all the people out and all their beautiful kitties.
Well, I've been talking to my kitty a lot since I've read your book, and I hope I'm not overburdening her. But, yeah, my question in the email was just about her eating habits, and she's older now and has lost some weight. So I'm just concerned about her eating habits and if indeed she has some other ailments that are impairing her from the, I mean, she eats some, but she doesn't tend to eat a lot anymore.
Okay. And how old is Slinky now?
She's 15.
15. So she's getting a little
always
older.
Been an indoor cat, sleeps a lot. But she has her little energy spurts and runs around and stuff, so makes me feel like she's, you know, okay, but I guess because she's lost a little weight in the last 6 months, I wasn't sure if there was anything else she needed to tell me about her health.
Yeah, how has she been using the litter box, and how has her
She drinks a good bit of water, right. She seems to, she drinks a lot of water, and the majority of the time, yes, she, you know, passes everything that she eats. So, yeah, I check it, and she's pretty good about every day. You know, it looks like everything's working in her system.
Yeah, you know, she feels good to me. I think the slowing down of the eating is normal. As they get a little bit older, they'll slow down a little bit. The drinking is fine as well. I feel a little bit of stagnation in her kidneys, but I don't think it's anything that's serious. You may want to try to take a look at picking up some supplements, some flower essences that do some kidney support.
Okay.
Block puts out some great products, and then there's a... on my website, I have some useful links tab, and there's some recommendations in there. And there's a company out of Conyers, Georgia, by the name of Newton Homeopathics, and they put together some nice support packages. It's a flower essence, but that you put a couple drops in their water each day, and it will help continue to flush out and build up that kidneys, liver, bladder type area. So you may just want to take a look at that and just add some supplements. But overall, I think she's feeling pretty good. She's liking the fact, I think, that you're talking to her more and more than just in a different way. She looks really kind of puzzled about it because that's how, you know, it's new to her. And that's how you should be talking to her. So I think it was like, you know, sort of a wow, that's interesting. Why are you talking to me? You've never talked to me that way before.
Well, good. I didn't want to all of a sudden think that I was assaulting her, like, oh, man, I'm crowding you, you know?
No, that's great. That gives her an opportunity, gives her a forum to be able to open up and have a real good conversation. Now, all you need to do is sort of quiet yourself, you know, take all the principles we've learned at church and sort of use those, go in that meditation and see if you can hear what she says back to you.
Okay, that's good.
Okay, now Marianne.
Well, thank you so much,
Tim.
Thank you, Marianne, I appreciate it. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you.
You're welcome to stay on the line, Marianne, if you want to.
I want to listen to the show.
We're about to start talking about the book, so I'm going to leave you on here, and I'm going to leave you unmuted so that you can pop in with your comments anytime you want. And I'm inviting Gabby to call in and anybody else that has read the book. Again, that's called Wagging Tails, Every Animal Has a Tail by animal psychic Tim Link. And feel free to call in with your comments if you've read the book and you want to talk about it. All right. So let's start. Now, I like the way you put in the book about how you got started doing this stuff, Tim. And we have heard that story before, but go ahead and tell it again.
Yeah, I thought it was important for people to sort of understand that, you know, where I came from and sort of the surprise of all this happening to me. And, you know, the whole idea of being centered and focused and believing that, you know, that your presented gifts and abilities was always sort of steadfast in my life. I knew that was true. And I also had the privilege of being around people that have special gifts, whether it would be you know, psychic connections or whether it's empathic connections, whatever it may be. And I fully, you know, understood where they were coming from a a mind standpoint. I could logically understand what they were saying and doing, and I could, in my heart, I could accept that. But I didn't, to my knowledge at that point, I had no idea that I had any gifts. You know, I had the gift of talking. That was good. And I had a good gift of selling stuff. I was really good at selling stuff. And Early in my college days, you know, I went to school as a vocal performance major, and so I, you know, I knew how to sing and perform and do all that. But getting down to that heart connection and understanding those inner gifts, you know, it took me the biggest part of my life. You know, it took me 40 years of my life before that gift, I was ready to accept that gift, and that gift presented itself.
Right.
And so back in 2004, I went to just a little one-day workshop by an animal communicator, the late Judy Byers. And Judy worked with us a little bit just on calming ourselves and centering ourselves and allowing our heart and our mind and our chakras and everything to open up, and which that was all, I knew how to do that, but I wasn't practicing it. You know, at that time I had not found my home, my church, Unity, which practices meditation and things of this sort. And so I never really had it, practiced it. The only quiet time I had was on a plane flying all over the country on business, you know, and flying overseas to London and Paris and places of that sort. That was my quiet time. But she taught us how to open ourselves up, how to quiet ourselves and sort of open the heart and open the mind. And then we started working with the animals. Everybody that attended the workshop brought in pictures of their animals, and they had four or five questions that they only knew the answers to. And then they would bring in live animals. The host had several dogs that they brought in, and she was the only one that knew the answers to her questions. And as they continued to ask the questions, we would calm ourselves down and open our mind, open our heart, and we would ask the questions out loud, ask the questions by mentally projecting them, ask the questions by just giving a visualization to the animal or through the picture, and all the information started flowing through, and all the accuracy started coming about, and I was getting all the information that I had no idea exactly where it was coming from. I assumed it was coming from the animal, but I didn't know how, but I was hitting it accurately every single time and getting all the answers to all these questions. Yeah, so it was very cool. It was very cool, but it was also one of those things where once, you know how it is, and that when your door's open, when your mind and your heart's open, the floodgates open and everything flows in, which is great, but if you're not prepared for it or if it's new to you and you don't know how to handle it, it can be a little bit overwhelming.
Yes, it can. It can be downright scary sometimes.
It can. And, you know, I was talking on Sunday about, you know, okay, once I sort of got my head wrapped around it and once I contacted Judy and Judy Byers and said, okay, this is really cool, but I need to know how to turn it off. You know, if it's always going to be like this, then, you know, perhaps I don't want it anymore. Go ahead and take it away. And she laughed and said, well, hon, you know, it doesn't work that way. Once it's presented, it's there. It, you know, it's your gift,
yeah.
And it's not going to go away. Now I can teach you how to sort of control it and how to open it and close it when you need to. And we worked on doing that. But, and even at that time, I wasn't sure what was I going to do with this. You know, at that time, I was selling telecommunications products and technology, and, you know, my typical customers were CEOs of major corporations, and I was selling, you know, $20, $30 million of product at a given time, given major presentations. And those two, you know, it's not like I could go into the CEO's office and say, okay, I'll make you a deal. You buy $20 million worth of my product today, and I'll come over to your house and explain why Fluffy's no longer using the litter box. You know, that was not going to work. And I was telling everybody something, you know, like, I've tried a lot of sales pitches, and a lot of them have worked, but I'm not sure if that one was going to work for me.
Right.
Yeah. So we talked about that.
Yeah, that one might have been a stretch.
Closing some deals on that, I don't know.
Might have been a stretcher, or it might have gotten you a stretcher.
It may have. It got me a wrapped around white coat in a padded room or something. I'm not sure, but you know, it's cool. And you know, we talk about a little bit about how that came about in the book Wagging Tales, Every Animal Has a Tell.
But no, I also like the fact that throughout the book you throw in little pet tips. You know, things that pet the ways to take care of your pet. Things to do, pets lost, plants to keep, you know, out of your house, you know, the ones that are poisonous to them,
mm-hmm.
and things like that. I just really enjoyed that aspect of the book.
Yeah, you know, I wanted to give people, you know, the book focuses on, you know, 32 stories about animals that I've worked with, But I wrapped it around with 24 sort of helpful hints, tidbits, helpful little things that you can implement now that even if you, you know, as you're practicing getting in touch with yourself and your animals and forming that communication, that bond, these are things you can start doing right now. And, you know, we include a lot of these on our website, and we also include them in the newsletter that comes out every month, the free newsletter that you can sign up for. It always has a couple of helpful hints in there. And so I took about 24 of my favorites, the ones I get asked about the most and the ones I think that you can start implementing today. And we go through those, and like I said, some of them are simple as, you know, house plants that you bring in, or especially around the holiday season, things like poinsettias and mistletoe can be very dangerous and poisonous for your animals. So you want to make sure that you don't bring them in the house, or you keep a close eye on them if you do.
Right, right, because I knew that poinsettias were poisonous, but I did not know that Easter lilies were also poisonous. So that was the revelation to me.
Yeah, we had, as a matter of fact, our one of my wife's aunts, she had a cat that they found dead that was laying beside an Easter lily. And the cat found it interesting, started playing with it, and then started eating the Easter lily and became toxic to it immediately and immediately passed away. So Easter lilies are definitely one of them. You got to be careful when you bring hollies in. Hollies with the berries in particular, you've got to be careful with those. So, yeah, do your homework a little bit. There's some, you know, the book talks a little bit about certain ones, but you can find out a detailed list by going on to, like, the ASPCA website, and they have a full list, and the Humane Society of the United States has a nice list. So do a little bit of homework, especially around the holiday season when it's, you know, you typically bring in plants and people give you plants for presents.
Okay.
We talk about that, and we talk about, you know, things you can start implementing now to help keep your dog and cat nice and calm.
All right. Now, we have a special guest on the phone already, so I have to play something for her. Sorry, Tim.
Call me time to the rescue. Call me time to the rescue. We love call me time.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's my new intro. That's my new intro.
Hey, Gabby.
How you doing?
I'm doing great. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. You know, the bitch, she's been talking to me. She told me to shut up and go back to sleep the other day.
So have you read your book and implemented the processes that you need to make sure she knows who's boss?
Yeah, she knows. She knows he's boss, but she still thinks she's smarter than me. So sometimes she is.
That's right. They're very smart, and you know, we talk a lot about that. And the fact that you know, I get asked a lot about, you know, can they really understand me? Do they understand English? And do they understand, you know, what I'm really saying to them? And the answer is definitely yes. They understand what you're saying to them. The key is we start to doubt what we're saying. You know, we feel funny about talking to our animals, especially if we're talking to them, you know, verbally, like you and I are speaking. And I try to tell people that, you know, they fully understand what you're saying. You just have to make it very succinct what you want to say. You know, you've got to explain, you know, what it is and what they need to do and why it's going to be a good thing for them. And once you do that, they understand fully.
And I mean, I'm raising Angus, you know, a whole different way than I did the other animals. And I mean, he's, you know, he has his issues, but, you know, I'm telling him where I'm going, how long I'm going to be gone, and that I will be back. And, you know, he's responding a lot better to it. He's, you know, I can send him to go find his ball. I can tell him which room it might be in, you know, just like you're talking to, you know, a friend. And I mean, it's working out a lot better.
Good.
Good. So the neighbor's dog was yapping the other day, and I tried to get the bitch to go out there and shut it up, and she looked at me like, you know, it's none of our concern. And when I got up and looked, here the dog was just yapping because there's kids playing in the yard directly behind it. And it wasn't any of our concern. So I just came back in and did my own thing.
That's right. So she was trying to tell you what it was all about.
Oh, yeah, she just, she's just like, you know, that doesn't concern you, you know. Just go back to sleep, you know. It was noon, so I figured I'd get up. But.
Wake up at the crack of noon again. Okay, we do have a quick question in the chat room, and then I want to go down the list and find out what everybody's favorite story out of the book was, because I know that we've all read it, and Tim wrote it, so he ought to know. but the question in the chat is from Vintage Fashion Lady. She said she recently got an email that the Wet Swiffer floor cleaner mop is toxic to pets. Have you heard anything about that, Tim?
I have the chemicals.
Yeah.
Well, I think that was that particular product. There was sort of hate to call it a rumor mill, but the word got out that yes, there was a problem with it. But in reality, no, that particular product is not the issue. The issue is excess of chemicals that any product can put off.
Right.
So, you know, you can't blame the manufacturer of Swiffer. Their product is as safe as any other chemically based product. The key is you obviously want to keep your animals off of that type of, away from those type of chemicals because they have, obviously can absorb them into their pads. They can lick their pads and absorb some of that chemical. So, you know, I always tell people that if possible, try to use some more natural solutions, things that are less toxic, go a little bit more green with it. Use some things like
vinegar.
Vinegar is great. You know, those type of products to use your cleaning. Yeah, it's better for the environment and also better for your animals.
Of course, when you clean with vinegar, your ho-ho smells like pickles.
That's not what I was going to say, but since this is a family show.
Well, it does. You know, it does with that.
Did hey Tim? I gotta ask. Did Precious ever go home?
No, Precious never did go home. You know, the story in the book about Precious the cat went off. Precious had this tendency to go off and explore just little by little, and one day she said, "You know what? There's a whole other world out there, and I've fulfilled what I need to in this household." And she went off on an exploration, and she's still out there. She's still doing her thing. She hasn't cozied up with any other families. She's just sort of out there on her own. And that's a tough situation because with Precious, she was living with multiple cats. I mean, we're talking 10, 20 cats when we include the outside cats and inside cats. But she was there in the household early on. But as time went on, she felt her purpose wasn't going to be served in that household. And it's difficult because you love these animals and you want them to be there, and you sort of, our natural instinct as humans is to blame ourselves when the animals leave. But we have to realize that sometimes, they've fulfilled their mission and purpose with us, and it's time for them to fulfill a different mission and purpose, whether they leave their bodies or whether they stay in their bodies.
Yeah, her personality just sound like my Bubby, because when Bubby was pregnant, she used to always go like three doors down. This woman had a really beautiful butterfly garden, and the woman was elderly and she died, and the house sat empty. But Bubby was like, all right, she was ready to give birth, but every time she disappeared, she'd be down there in that butterfly garden.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was pretty to her,
Exactly.
She's my little explorer, but she always comes home every night.
Yeah, and some, and some do. Some, they will stay close to home. Some will go off on a little exploration and come back. I do a lot of work with lost pets, and, we do get quite a few of them back home. I'd say a good portion of them to come back home, or we find them, at the location where they're at now. But, and in some of those situations, we've gotten them back in a matter of an hour or two, and sometimes it's been months before they come back, and it's just different with each one. But there are situations like Precious that, the purpose is done. They want to explore. They want to explore more of what's going on, and they go much further than they've ever gone before.
Tim, I was really fascinated by the concept that the animals know they have a purpose.
Yes, they definitely do. We're all created the same. It's all, however you label it, whether it's source energy, universal energy,
God, right,
energy.
Right.
and we come into body and we fulfill our mission and purpose while we're here, and then we leave that body.
But humans are often just not as smart, it sounds like, as these animals.
Well, the problem with it is true, and you know the problem with humans is we have this thing called ego.
Right. And
so ego, you know, part of that is life. So we start getting caught up in, you know, making money and buying homes and driving cars and all the, you know, and doing what the neighbor does, and don't try to be different, try to be the same. And after a while, we get caught up in all that and we forget what our mission and purpose is. And like someone told me the other day, then we spend thousands of dollars searching for what our mission and purpose is when it was there all along.
So all animals really come in with that and are pretty much in tune to it, it seems like, from your book.
They do everything possible to fulfill that mission and purpose, and if they can't, they'll move on, and usually it's, you know, they transition on out of that body, but in most cases they work every day to try to fulfill that mission and purpose.
Well, and they try to show you their place, their purpose.
Well, definitely. You know, they can come. We've got stories where a great story that's we talk about in the book, where a lady in the book, a friend of mine, she was going through a tough time, going through a really tough divorce, and her family had given her a cat to sort of teach her love, you know, to give her love, not to teach her love, but give her love. Have her give a companion.
Oh, is that Samantha?
Yes.
Oh, I love that story.
Yeah, so the cat stays with her, and then as the story moves along, she finds new love, finds her new mate, and the lady gets engaged and gets married, and then the cat transitions on shortly after that, right after that, as a matter of fact, right before that. Actually, when the story goes, so it was very clear that she was there just for a short period of time, just you know, 3 or 4 years, in this person's life, and then the cat was gone. The cat was, you know, transitioned out of its body, and it was clear afterwards that that cat was there to sort of teach her about love, teach her that love's going to be there for her, that, you know, she shouldn't be blaming herself or feeling that, you know, love's not for her, because it will happen. And that's one of the big things that you know, that Samantha wanted to accomplish.
Very good. Very good. So, Marianne, what was your favorite story in the book?
That was my favorite, Samantha. I was so fascinated with you communicating and other animals communicating with other pets who had passed on. Like, they would see a certain animal in the yard, and that animal, it was the spirit of that animal. And they take it seemingly just like it's another animal to them.
Right.
Exactly. They feel that energy. They feel that spirit there, as we call it. And even though that energy or that spirit's left that physical body, they still have the ability. They know that animal's there, and they know they want to communicate with that to you. And they want you to know that they know that the animal's back there. And we've actually got a couple stories like that in the book where through conversations, there's another cat that appears, and they're like, well, wait a minute, we don't have another cat. And it's like, well, yeah, you have one in the backyard. That's the one that passed on. So, it's pretty fascinating. And the cats, and as well as dogs and other animals, they find it really, you know, important to let us know that, hey, I know that, you know, that there's another cat or another dog here in the house, even though it's not physically alive.
I know. My cat Scamp is buried in the garden. Now I'm wondering if Slink is looking out at him all the time.
He could very well be knowing that, yeah.
Well, anybody that's had cats, especially kittens, knows that every now and then they just kind of rear up and start playing and go on a mad dash through the house for no apparent reason, and you have to wonder if at least part of that time they're not playing with another cat that you can't see.
Oh, yeah. I think there's one living in my bathtub. Mama jumps in there and plays with it all the time. But that one in the bathtub doesn't like dogs because Angus is scared to death of the bathtub.
There you go. Well, it's true. You know, they are so in tune. Animals are so in tune with that, you know, everything. They're totally open all the time. They're totally their hearts are open, their minds are open to accept that, and they see things at a different plane, they feel things differently than we do because they are so open to it. And so, yeah, you know, I tell people, it's sort of like, you know, we see that with young children as well. You know, young children playing with imaginary friends, or young children just sort of staring off at something on the wall, and they're, you know, us adults don't feel there's anything there, but yet there very well could be some energy there as well. But our cats and dogs and the rest of the animals are really in tune to that. And so often, if they're, you know, if they're playing a little imaginary chase game, very well could be that there was a, you know, an animal there, and that energy still sticking around.
Yep. Okay, so Gabby, what was your favorite story?
Well, I like Precious because it reminded me so much of Bubby. And I've had the cats that just, you know, you have them for 5 or 6 years and then they just, you know, disappear. And I mean, that's like when I had the cat after I had my nose bit off, you know, my parents got me 2 cats so I wouldn't, you know, be scared of animals. And we had the 1 cat for years. And then after we got a dog, you know, she just kind of disappeared. And I mean, you know, I was no longer afraid of animals, you know, so.
Obviously.
I guess she felt her job.
Since you have 9.
I have 9 now, yeah.
Yeah. And so it got you through that purpose, you know, that purpose and that mission, it got you to that point where you're no longer fearful of animals. And
yeah, and I mean, at that time I was only 4, so really having a smart cat like that, it probably helped more than anything.
Right.
Yeah. But I mean, I see a lot of, you know, cats that I've had in Precious, you know, just like, yeah, I just wanted to check this place out over here.
Exactly.
The one that made me laugh was Allison, the feral cat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She made me laugh. Like, it's my foot.
That's right. Don't. Yeah, I'm picking
it's not
up.
My leg. It's my foot.
It's not my leg. It's my foot. Stupid. You know,
so have you're so smart in my head.
Yeah. So you've got Allison the cat who's out walking around, and I immediately connect with her and feel there's a problem in the leg, and then she quickly corrects me, saying it's my foot, not my leg, you know, stupid human, can't possibly understand anything. So we get that, you know, it's almost like Pepe the praying mantis. We threw that story in there, you know, most of the stories in
there. It was incredible.
Yeah, most of the stories are dogs and cats in there, and early on when I started working with animals, that's what I did, was work with dogs and cats mostly, because obviously that's the most common domestic animal that we have, and a majority of the stories in the book are animals I worked with in the feral cat program or in rescue program at the Humane Society. Of course, since that time, it's expanded to hundreds and hundreds of different types of animals. But Pepe was one of those stories where we just, you know, my wife Kim dared me, sort of, said, well, why don't you go have a conversation with it? And I'm like, I even started out myself thinking, wait a minute, it's a praying mantis. You know, can I even have a conversation with a praying mantis? And lo and behold, I did. And he was very regal and very polite, but very, you know, condescending at the same time, because I'm just a mere human.
Yes, we're mere humans, and he is the almighty praying mantis, and therefore above us all.
That's how I
took the story, or took his attitude in the story, and I could hear him saying, stupid human.
Fine, call me Pepe, I don't care.
That's right, whatever, just, you know, go on. I'll amuse you for a little bit longer, and then be gone. And that's what we're finding. And Annette, you know, when we do this show, we've been doing this show for over a year now, and it always amazes me because, you know, we get our fair share of dogs and cats, but we've had birds and horses, and I think last month we had a
hedgehog.
So, you know. So each week there's something new. Each month that we do the show, there's always something new that comes into play, which gives me more opportunities. And, you know, one of the coolest things in the book is I was very fortunate that for the book, you know, Wagging Tails, we had some really good endorsements. We've got some really good people to read the book and give some compliments back. And, you know, Jack Hanna, the Emmy Award-winning Into the Wild guy, and the guy you always see on Letterman and Leno's show, bringing all the animals in. Well, Jack was, surprisingly enough, you know, I'd been a big fan of Jack's forever. Never met the gentleman, but I thought I'd take a shot at seeing if he would take a look at my little book and give me a compliment back, and they were very cordial about it. He got a copy of the book and read it before he went to Zimbabwe to work with some of the animals over there, and gave us a brilliant endorsement back. And the cool thing is, since that time, I've had an opportunity to make a real strong connection with the Columbus Zoo, which he is the director of emeritus there. Yeah. And so we have an opportunity now where we've actually have gotten pictures of orphaned wild animals that have been sent to me, and I've worked with them a little bit. And then we're going to be making a jaunt up to Columbus later this summer. Date to be determined, so I know Gabby will be happy about that.
Yeah, I already told Annette what I was going to do.
We're excited about that.
I can't tell you, though.
All I can say, Tim, is prepare yourself.
Jack will never write me another endorsement again. I can see it. just leave the Beverly Hillbillies trucking home. We'll be okay.
Are you serious? Oh, man.
But we were really thrilled with that. So this, you know, this gives a whole new opportunity as well. So we're starting to work with some of the animals that are in zoos and you know, in the wild. And so it just amazes me that when the when you're really on your mission, when you're on your purpose, and these gifts are presented to you, you know, I encourage everybody just to, you know, look within themselves and just follow that and do what you're meant to do. Because once you do that, it's the ride's incredible.
Yep, and things start falling into place and coming to you once you find your ultimate purpose.
They do.
Yes,
they do.
Yes, they do.
So, now my favorite story in the book, for some reason, this one just kind of appealed to me, is little Oliver. When you told him that he was a very good cat and he was a very handsome cat, he was a pretty boy. And he decided then that he wanted his name to be Pretty Boy. He didn't want to be called Oliver anymore.
That's right.
Tickled me for some reason.
Well, you know, it's amazing because right after that conversation with him, when his mama, when you know, his owner, would call him Oliver, he would not respond to her. He would not give her any attention. He would not do anything at all. And then she would catch herself saying, oh, that's right, he must be called Pretty Boy. And so she'd call him Pretty Boy, and he'd come running over. Because at that point, I no longer want to be called Oliver. I want to be called Pretty Boy. So the artist formerly known as Oliver.
That's right. There you go.
Well, that's like, you know, Tiny not wanting the blue collar. He wanted the red collar.
Exactly.
He's still wearing a red collar.
That's right. So Tiny was all out of sorts until he told me that he wanted the red collar like the others had, and he's been happy ever since. Simple little things. I have a wonderful story that is not in the book, but I'll go ahead and share it with you. There was a horse that was, it drank, ate its food out of a bucket and drank its water out of a bucket, and then one day it stopped eating and stopped drinking the water, and so they were wondering what was going on, and the horse kept communicating back, green water, green water. And so you try to decipher that, what exactly does that mean? And, you know, to me, when you think green water, that means, you know, like mossy water. And maybe there's, you know, a small pond there on, you know, in the pasture that is developed moss, and the horse no longer wants to drink that water. But in this situation, that was not the case. It had nothing to do with the pond. There was no pond there. So kept asking, and the horse just kept repeating, green water, green water, green water. So we started playing this little guessing game to figure out what green water meant. And lo and behold, the horse, the owner had changed the buckets and bought fresh buckets, and the buckets were blue. The old buckets were green. Same bucket, same size, same everything, but they changed it from green to blue, and the horse would not drink out of the blue bucket. So they had to bring back the green bucket, and everything was fine. The world was good again. So You know, people ask me, are they colorblind and can they see? Do they really know? And they absolutely know. You know, we had a Pomeranian that we got, wife and I, you know, we've been together for, been married for 23 years. We had been together for 30 years. And in college, we got a Pomeranian and that was with us for 15 years. And when we first got her, I bought her two balls. One was pink, one was orange, made by the same manufacturer, same design, same everything. She played with that pink ball until there was nothing left of that pink ball. Orange ball stayed pristine the whole time that we had the dog. She had nothing to do with that orange ball. So go figure. You know, it could be as simple as that. People contact me and say, you know, I've got this big issue with my pet. They're no longer using the litter box. And it could very well be that you've swapped it out because you're trying to give them a nice, fresh, new litter box, and they don't want it, or they don't like the color of the one you chose. So simple things like that. Yeah,
now, I have a mystery today. I think I have solved it, but I would like for you, if you don't mind, to talk to Copy and see if he can shed some light on it for you. Our gate has mysteriously opened four times today.
And has he been outside?
He was only outside one of those times.
I was peeping in your windows again, Annette. I'm sorry.
There seems to be there's another energy around. Has there been another dog around, another cat, something that is causing the gate to open?
Yeah, that's what I think happened.
Yeah, there's another energy. I don't know if it's one of yours or not, though.
No.
Yeah.
Copy is my only pet right now.
Okay. So, yeah, you've got another one that's sneaking in and out that sort of wants to be part of your energy field. So don't be surprised if it starts to take a little bit closer look at your household. I'm not sure Copy's going to be too happy about that.
Well, he followed her around today. She's pregnant.
Ah.
She's a pregnant female. And she's just a little bit bigger than Copy is, and he's just fascinated with her. He doesn't know, he's not socialized real well, so he doesn't know how to play. And he's not very trusting. So he just kind of sniffs her and follows her around and doesn't. And she tries to kiss on him and play with him and stuff, and he's just like, what? So,
well, that's interesting. That's interesting. I think he would have a little bit more of a challenge with it than. So he's finding the whole plus with that multiple energy really fascinating.
What the heck is going on?
Feedback there. I'm not sure who's.
Not me.
I don't know what's going on there. A lot of noise. But yeah, I was just wondering. And see, the third time that I found the gate open, that little female dog was actually in the yard. So okay, we gotta mute somebody here.
It's not me. I'm not moving.
Okay. There we go. I think we got it now. But, yeah, she was actually in the yard. And she climbed up her. See, my yard goes in between my house and the house next door, and she was crawling underneath the air conditioner. Because we have those swamp coolers here, you know, that it uses water to cool, and it just blows a fan.
Mm-hmm.
And it drips, and she was crawling under there and letting it drip on her head. So I guess
she was
trying to cool off or get a drink or something.
And so she's just a stray that's around?
No, she belongs to somebody that lives over here, that lives, you know, right behind us. But she's a real sweet dog.
Well, I think
she's pregnant, and if she wants to live here, I don't want a house full of puppies.
Well, make sure the front door stays closed. I think that's it.
Yeah.
She may find her way in. May find her way. Well, she likes the energy there, and if he's enjoying it, then I think that's pretty cool. That gives him a new feeling, not only a new play partner that keeps him interested, but more of, you know, it's an energy he's not used to, and he seems to be responding. I don't think he's going to be too excited when he sees those puppies, but because not that he'll be mean to him, but it's just like that's going to really be, you know, different for him.
Right.
Do you think that other dog's nesting?
I think that the female definitely feels the energy, feels a good energy there. So I wouldn't be surprised if she's looking for a spot to have
her puppies.
Yeah.
She's gonna have them at your house, and that.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that's fine with me as long as she does it outside, and if
no,
not, she doesn't try to kill them. You know, that would concern me, that Copy might try to do something to him, because he's just not used to other animals being around, and he's not very positive when they do come around. You know what I mean? And plus, she knows how to open the gate. This is not good.
Very crafty. Very crafty.
Hey, Tim, what do you think? What do you think about when you have multiple pets and one of them's giving birth? Do you think it's best that the others are there to see it? Or do you think that they should be kept away?
Well, I don't think it hurts for them to see it as long as they're prepared for it and you've talked to them ahead of time about what's going to go on, what's happening. It is kind of just like with us, you know, it's kind of a personal experience and it can be very traumatic. So, you know, you want to make sure that the female giving the pups or the kittens are being comfortable and calm and in a situation where they don't feel threatened. But as long as the other animals are been talked to about the situation and they're calm around it, then I don't see any issue with it.
Yeah, cause I just had problems with when my cats had the kittens, and I think Cookie felt kind of like I don't know if jealous or resented the kittens because they got so much attention. And she would take off with Blue when Blue was just tiny. She would take off with Blue often.
Yeah, well, and that's why, that's if they're not used to the energy, if they've never been around that situation before and you haven't explained it, then, yeah, they could feel a little unsure about it. The energy will be different for them, and it may not suit them well. As well as, if they see that all the attention and love's going in one direction and they're used to getting their fair share, then, they could definitely be, they don't get resentful, but they can definitely feel the energy shift, and they may not like it. They may choose to just, walk away.
Right.
Yeah. So you got to be cognizant of that a little bit. I had a client that I was working with that had 8 cats, and they were indoor outdoor cats, and they brought on a new one, and it wasn't quite fitting in with a few of them because it was not introduced properly. It was not, no one was told that the new cat was coming in, and the new cat didn't really know the lay of the land either. They didn't really know what they were supposed to do in the new household. And so until they get to that point where they've all talked it out and we've got a feel for what their roles are, et cetera, then until that time they had some real challenges in the household.
And that's the story that's in the book, right?
Yeah. Yep.
A couple of the stories in the book about that particular family.
Yeah, exactly. And so we have to, you have to talk to them ahead of time, and you have to be, it's just like anything else when you have a new energy in the household, whether it's a guest coming over, a new person that's moved into the house, a new child that's been brought into the home. Everybody fully has to understand what that situation is and what they need to do about it and why it's going to be all right. And talk it out with them verbally, visualize it, make sure they fully understand before that before the that new energy is brought in.
Okay. Well, when you've got a minute, if you could talk to that little female dog for me. And ask her not to open my gate anymore.
She's going to have her puppies there. Probably want to talk to Cocker and tell him what's going to happen.
Yeah, you may want to explain to him what to do about what you need his help with and why it's going to be okay.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'll talk to the little girl, and you got to talk to Copy, and we'll compare notes next month and see how it goes.
Okay. All right, we'll find out. We'll
and then we'll have puppies barking in the background. She's like, well, let me tell you.
Yeah. Oh, I hope not. But anyway, like I said, it's fine with me as long as she has them outside and Copy doesn't do anything to hurt them. That would be the only thing that would really concern me, the fact Copy might hurt them. So,
how old was Copy when you got him?
He was about a year old.
Well, maybe he needs a mama.
I'm his mama.
Well, maybe he needs like little ones to protect.
Yeah, could be.
You know,
he likes the protector role.
And let him know that there's going to be babies to protect, and he'll be the big man.
You think that would work?
Well, I think you definitely want to explain to him and see how he responds to it, see what the information he gives back, or at least just see how his actions are toward it. I think right now he finds it kind of fascinating. I'm not sure if he's going to be too excited about all that new energy if all the pups are there at the household. I don't think that he would be aggressive toward it, but it's definitely going to be something totally new to him, and if he's not prepared ahead of time, then he could react accordingly.
Okay, so the name of the book is Wagging Tails, Every Animal Has a Tail. You can find out about it on Tim's website, www.wagging-tails.com. The book is available now at all major booksellers and at Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com. And so where's the next stop on your tour?
Well, we spend this week in Atlanta at the home base, doing a lot of speaking and signing events here in town. And then next week, week of the 13th, I believe it is, May, we go to New York City. So we spend 4 days in New York City doing some speaking and signings and working with some rescue organizations there. And
they're going to have you go talk to those rats.
They could be talking to rats. Hard telling what I'll be talking to there.
Do the Piper thing.
It could happen. It wouldn't be the first time I've talked to one, so it probably won't be the last. And then the following week we're off to Dallas. We'll be in Dallas-Fort Worth. And then we're heading off to Denver. And we'll spend a week in Denver, Memorial Day week in Denver. And then over to Phoenix and San Diego.
I still think you need to schedule a stop in between Dallas and Denver in Lubbock, because you know what? You could have a book signing at PetSmart, which is right next door to Barnes & Noble.
We could do that. We're doing one here in Atlanta at Borders, which is next to PetSmart, and PetSmart is graciously volunteered to work with us on that event, and we're doing a lot of Barnes & Noble events. The cool thing we're trying to do with this tour, we're doing I call it the summer leg of the tour, and then we're going to go do some other cities sort of late summer, early fall this year. And there's so many wonderful places that we can go to. So we're going to try to do our best. But the cool thing about these events is that each of the speaking and signing events that I'm doing, I'm teaming up with a local rescue organization and allowing them the forum to speak for, a little bit about their organization and how people can get involved. And then I'm donating a portion of our proceeds from that night to that rescue organization.
I got a PSA. I wonder if you could maybe ask them and then even the PetSmart. You know, right now with the economy and people having to give up their houses and, their pets, or, they're making concessions to get by. It was on MySpace. Somebody was saying that they might have to get rid of their pet because they couldn't afford to feed them. And a friend of mine on there, she did a blog about, different organizations, that you can go and get food from.
Right.
I guess the food banks now, they have pet food.
Right.
And like PetSmart here in Columbus, I mean, all the PetSmarts here, you can call them about anything, any kind of rescue, any kind of, like, discount, vet visits, adoption, stuff like that. And, I'm wondering if there's more organizations, maybe if you can find out, and just if you put it in your newsletter, then I can get it out there. But just, where can people go to get help with feeding their pets so they don't have to give up their pets?
Yeah.
Right.
Well, one of the best things you can do is a lot of the rescue organizations, they do have food banks. I mean, there are food banks that have dog and cat food as well. So human food banks, and we've seen that start to happen in your local cities. And also your local rescue organizations, they will get food. So, for instance, the organization I'm closest to, the Humane Society of Forsyth County, they have got an agreement with Purina. Purina donates truckloads of food every month for the Humane Society dogs and cats, as well as the feral cat program. But anybody that is in tough times can come in and get food there. Also, groups like PetSmart and Petco donate their food to local organizations. Major grocery store chains will do the same. So I encourage people, there's really no, I understand times are tough, and I understand that foreclosures are high and people are downsizing homes, and it's making it difficult, but if it's a matter of getting food for your animal, just do your homework a little bit. Reach out to your local rescue organizations, reach out to your local groups. I would guarantee that, you know, if they've, most of them have food that they're willing to share, and you just have to ask. And you, if you're not familiar with what your local rescue groups are or who they are, go on to a website called petfinder.com, all one word, petfinder.com, and most of your local shelters and rescue organizations post their animals on that site, and, of course, then they'll have their contact information. You can just reach out to them and tell them your situation. So, ask for help. Don't feel proud, too proud to do that. And I think you'd be amazed at the number of people that would step forward and be willing to help you.
Yeah, Jersey Girl.
Mm-hmm.
And she did a big blog, and she called, a bunch of rescue groups and organizations. And I think it was PAWS that really, gave her a lot of answers. But they said that even if you buy an extra bag of food, this 3-pound bag of, cat food or dog food, and you could drop it off at, any food bank to help donate.
Definitely. So I encourage people that, while they're doing their normal shopping is, pick up a bag or two of cat or dog food, pick up some, some, and take them to your local rescue group. They'll be more than pleased to accept it, and they can reach out to other people. And,
that's a good idea.
And it's the same thing with farm life. If you're working the farms and you have cattle or horses or chicken, and maybe you have extra feed or know people that are actually doing okay in today's time, then reach out to those other people that aren't doing quite as well, or reach out to the rescue organizations such as horse rescue and rabbit rescue and some of the other farm rescue groups. And
goat rescue. I could use a goat right now to mow my yard. I wonder if I can find a goat rescue. Just get one billy goat,
It's definitely the green way to go. So green is in right now. So instead of getting you a lawn boy, get you a goat to put out in the yard.
Yeah, I'll name him Lawn Boy.
All right. Well, we're just about out of time. So thank you, Gabby and Marianne, for calling in. I've got you both muted now, so sorry. And thank you, Tim. Any last thoughts? We got 1 minute left.
Best thing to do is if you're wanting to find out more about the book and you're wanting to find out more about what I'm doing, go onto the website, wagging-tails.com, wagging-tails.com. I'm doing a whole host of things during this tour, radio, TV. I just got interviewed for People magazine, and the posting came out today. So go on to people.com under the pets category, and you can see a nice article about me there. So keep abreast of what's going on, and we're doing a lot of different things, and it's changing daily. So check out the website and sign up for the free newsletter. It's the best way to keep up on what's happening.
And buy the book, Wagging Tails, Every Animal Has a Tail, available now at all major booksellers, Amazon.com, and Tim's website, and BarnesandNoble.com. So thank you so much, Tim, for being on the show tonight.
You're welcome, Annette. It's my pleasure, and we will talk to you this time next month.
We sure will. All right. Thanks, everybody, for coming to the show. Thanks for listening. And I will see you all next week.